This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope you're all well and you had a good week since our last meeting. Welcome. Anyone, if, as I said, the terrible thing of these online classes is that you don't get to see your students, and you know, it's really difficult to interact like that, and I really love interacting with my students. So perhaps before we begin, got a minute or two, are there any questions, comments, concerns? Anyone want to contribute something? We obviously pray for all the people of Ukraine and the rest of the world. You know, may they be protected, and you know, war is a terrible thing. But beyond that, is there anyone else who'd like to share before we begin? Anyone has a question maybe? I am audible, right? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you 100% out of the UAE.
Jazakallah khair, Shaheen. Welcome. How are things in the UAE?
Things are alhamdulillah in the UAE, you know. All over the world you'll have your troubles and you'll have everything, but you know, if you keep yourself consistent with your own life and you know you make dua for others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in your life, because then you're living for yourself and others. But if you're living only for yourself, then you know you find yourself a bit lost sometimes.
Absolutely. Mashallah, that's a wonderful philosophy. I'll ask everyone that, you know, just you can just mute yourselves unless you have a question to ask. It's a bit of a noise there in the background. So before we begin this evening's lecture, before I share the slides, there were some questions that one question particularly that came through, I think on the YouTube comment section. So again, just a reminder for those of you who are on the Teams, you know, you can interact with me live and you can obviously ask a question. But for the rest of you on YouTube, you can only stream obviously, but you can comment and you can ask a question in the comment section. There was a question, and I mean it's following on from last week's lecture about responding to certain questions that atheists may pose. And one of the questions was, and it's a very common one, can God create a God bigger than him or more powerful than him? And you have many questions like that. Can Allah create a rock, or can God create a stone so big that it's so heavy that he can't lift it? Now obviously the answer is, you know, no matter what you say, you find yourself in a bind here. If you say yes, God can do everything, he can create a rock so big that he can't pick it up, then that implies that he's limited, that there's something bigger than him or more powerful than him. And of course if you say no, such a thing is not possible, then it sounds like, oh, so God is limited again in what he can do. Now, how do you respond to this question? Well, it's not a very a difficult thing to respond to, because the question is nonsensical. And just because the question is nonsensical, obviously you're not going to have an answer. It's like someone asking you, can you draw a circle with sides or with three sides? Can you draw a triangle with two sides? Now, it's impossible. You can't do something like that. So it's not the fact that you can't give the answer. The fact is the question is nonsensical. And so by definition, you know, God is all powerful, all knowing, all wise. And, you know, to say that if he's limited in any way, then he cannot be God. Then he cannot be God. Also, remember, our laws and our physics that we understand and we are surrounded by do not apply to the Almighty. He has, he of course is not bound by our reality. And so those kind of questions are only relevant to us in our universe. And if he was limited, then he can't be God, right? If he was bound by the laws of our physics, then he can't be God, because then he lives within our universe. Anyway, as I said, this is lecture number 4. And last week and the week before, we sort of took a tangent and we discussed a bit of atheism. And it was quite heavy. Many of you have sort of expressed that, not really my cup of tea. And I thought it's very important that we discuss it, because you won't find a discussion on atheism really within a religious setting. And while many of you might feel very comfortable in your relationship with your creator, it might be your kids, it might be friends that are struggling with it. And as I said before, one of the objectives of this class is that it's inclusive, and that we can invite everyone to ask those questions. You know, a question like that, can God do this or not do that? I don't find it offensive. In fact, I encourage it. And I encourage you to have the freedom to ask any question that is burning. And, you know, if we can answer it, we can answer it. Inshallah, we can discuss it. There are no taboo comments or questions here, inshallah. So feel free. So the last 2 weeks we spoke about atheism. We spoke about the proof and the evidence that there is in Allah, and some of the atheistic arguments that are there. We kind of rebutted them. But that's not really the focus of our course here. We said that Islam is, and I'm going to share my slides quickly. Islam is, by definition, submission to a higher power, to a supreme being, to your creator, basically submitting to the Almighty. And we then asked, you know, what evidence do we have that he exists? And that was our discussion of the last couple of weeks, proving the existence of the creator. So now that we've moved beyond that point, and alhamdulillah, you know, we are comfortable that there is a creator, that there is an Almighty, that there is someone that put us here, that there is a purpose to our life. Who is he? You know, who is this creator? When I speak to him, and you know, I said this last week, that leave all the arguments and the debates and the discussions, does God exist, doesn't he exist, leave that aside. If you really want to know if God exists, if you have a creator, if you have a maker, if there is someone in control of the universe, then speak to him. Raise your hands, sit in a corner, find a place where you feel at peace, and in your own language, in your own tongue, just reach out, let your heart pour out and say, if you are out there, hear me, guide me, help me, show me what I should do with my life. If you are there, then respond to me. So who is this entity? Who is this being that is outside of our universe, who created us? And when we think of him, when we pray to him, what should we think of? Now you'd find, I use the term creator because I think creator is universal. Everyone understands when I say creator, you understand by it the one who made the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, the one who created me, who created you. He is not bound by a set religion. He is not bound by a group of people. My creator is your creator. And in that, we also share that oneness in humanity. The same one who made the atheist, who made the Christian, who made the Jew. He's the same one that made the animals and all of creation. That is the creator. Of course, from an Arabic perspective and an Islamic perspective, you hear the term Allah all the time. Allah, Allah. Who is this Allah? What do we know? What do we know about him from an Islamic perspective? Now, many people, especially if you're not from the Islamic background, if you're not a Muslim, they might find the word Allah awkward. You know, you find people say, "I believe in God. I don't believe in your Allah." Now, Allah is an Arabic term that refers to God, basically. And if you go to, if you look at the root word Allah, what does it mean? And I think as Muslims, you really need to understand this. Allah is derived from a word. There's a word inside the name, the term Allah, which is ilah. And ilah is a deity or something that is worshipped. And there are many ilahs. Anything that is worshipped is an ilah. An idol can be an ilah. Jesus Christ is an ilah because he's worshipped. Buddha, the statue, is an ilah. The sun is an ilah because some people worship the sun. Allah in the Arabic language is al-ilah. That al means the. So it's the ilah, the one and only worthy and deserving of worship. The one and only that you can turn to and ask and plead and speak to, and he will respond. All other ilahs cannot respond, cannot assist you. So the word Allah is the one and only that is deserving of worship and that can reciprocate, that can respond to your worship, and that can answer and benefit you. So that one, that one, whatever name you want to give him, that is Allah. That is Allah, your creator. And interestingly, if you are from the Middle East, you are, if you are a Christian, Arab, you're Arabic-speaking Christian, you are a Jew, you would find in the Hebrew text, in the Aramaic, in the language of Jesus Christ, they would refer to God as Ilah, Elohim, Ilahi. You would find this in the Bible, of the Arabic Bible. When they speak about the God, the creator, they would use the term Allah. So we shouldn't be worried about a term. We shouldn't be worried about a term. We're speaking about the creator. Now, from an Islamic perspective, as I said, Islam is about you submitting to this creator, you submitting to the Ilah, and you speaking to him and worshipping him and following his commandments. Now, when you want to have a relationship with him, that is what Islam is all about, you and him having a relationship. The first thing, before you can start having a relationship, like in anything, if I want to have a relationship with another person, if I want to have a relationship with, you know, an organization, the first thing is I need to get to know these people. I need to get to know this person. How can I be in love with somebody? How can I devote myself to some, to my creator if I don't know who he is? What are his names? What is his personality like? If we can use that term, lillahi al-mathal ala, Allah doesn't have, you know, personalities in the way we describe, but he has, obviously, he has described himself. So how does the creator describe himself from an Islamic perspective? Different religions have different perspectives of the creator. From an Islamic perspective, if we were to ask, who is Allah? So you open the Quran. The Quran is the religious book of the Muslims. You open right at the beginning, chapter number one. It begins, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin reciting in the name of Allah, with the permission of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Two more names of him. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, they sound very similar, right? They sound similar. They are both, they both refer to mercy. Rahma means mercy. So Allah is saying, in my name, the one who is eternally merciful, the one who is merciful in everything he does. There's a very deep discussion between the exact difference between the meaning of these two names. They both mean merciful, but the essence of it, Rahman is the one who is by his nature, he's merciful. That he's always merciful. He is in every situation, he is merciful. And Rahim is the one who, when he acts with mercy. And I give you an example. You can say, you know, Muhammad is a very funny person. You know, he's a very humorous person. He likes to make jokes, but it doesn't mean I'm always in a humorous mood. Sometimes you get angry. So Allah is saying, I am merciful in my nature, and also when I act, I am merciful. I am always merciful at all times. So the very first quality of your Lord, the very first introduction you have to him, he says, I am Allah. And if you want to know who I am imbued, I am completely merciful in everything that I do. My essence is one of mercy. My actions is one of mercy. The way I interact with my creation is mercy. And so this is the first opening line of the Quran. He then says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah. All praise, worship, thanks. All, you know, all our gratitude is to him, Allah. Who is he? Rabbil Alameen, the Lord, the creator of all of creation. Alameen means all of creation. So he is Allah, the one and only creator, sustainer, designer, the one who controls all of creation. And then he continues, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He repeats it, the most merciful, the most gracious. In his lordship, in his control of the universe, he wants you to know, I'm a Lord that controls the universe, and I'm a Lord that is very merciful, extremely merciful, exceedingly merciful. If there's one attribute that you need to know about Allah, the one thing he wants to let you know about himself is that he's kind, loving, and merciful. We can, when we think of God, when we think of Allah, we think of power, might, majesty. We think of knowledge and intellect and all those things. And of course, those are all things that belong to Allah. But he doesn't begin with those attributes. He doesn't speak about his might. He doesn't speak about his knowledge. He speaks about this divine quality of mercy. That his relationship with his creation is one of mercy. So remember, as I said, Islam is basically, if you want to distill Islam down to its core, it is a relationship between you and your creator. You surrender to him and he responds to you with mercy. In fact, he doesn't only respond to you with mercy. Even if you reject him, he is still merciful to you. He's always merciful. Those are just two of the names of Allah. the most merciful, and how we get to know about someone or something by their names, by their description. And Allah has many names which He has named Himself. Now, side note, Islamically, we are not allowed to name the Creator with a name that we decide. We know we can't call Him the Father. He didn't call Himself that. We can't call Him the Architect or the Designer or the Engineer. I mean, those names He has not given Himself. So only names which He has named Himself with, and he said, this is one of my names, that is a name which we can utilize. So of the names that you find in the Quran that He calls Himself the Khaliq, the Creator of all things, Ar-Rabb, the Lord, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. We spoke about these two names. These are the most frequent names. He is the most merciful, the especially merciful. He is Al-Ghafoor and Al-Ghaffar. He is the one that protects you from your mistakes, and He forgives you when you commit a sin. So these two names refer to His capacity of forgiving. And remember, when it comes to the attributes and the names of Allah, these imply continuity. You know, like He's always all-powerful. He's always all-knowing. There's nothing that He doesn't know. He's all-seeing. There's nothing that He can't see. He's always all-merciful. He's always forgiving. He's always kind in all situations and all circumstances. One of His names, Al-Afu. Al-Afu is the highest form of forgiveness. He basically removes all sin. So not only does He forgive your sin, but He expunges it as if though it never existed to begin with. He removes it. He sort of undoes it, undoes your sin completely. Of His names, Al-Latif, the very gentle, when someone is called Latif, it actually means soft. So the very gentle and kind in the way He interacts with His creation, when he deals with His creation in a very subtle and soft manner. Al-Wadud, the one who is deeply loving to His creation, very, very intimate and affectionate with His creation. Al-Halim, the most forbearing. What does forbearing mean? Forbearing means when you are harmed. Now, we can't harm the Creator, but when we do some, when you, in our terms, forbearance is when you are harmed and you are not given your share. You hold back. You don't reciprocate harm with harm. So He says of His names, Al-Halim, I don't respond to my creation in a way in which they've responded to me. So even though they deny me, even though they curse me, even though they disobey me, I don't respond to them with harm. I let and I pardon those things. And so these are of the names, and there are many, many names of the Creator. There's a beautiful narration where the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would pray and he says, Oh Creator, oh Allah, I call You and I invoke You on all the names which You taught me and all the names which You taught any other of Your other creations. I mean, I didn't know all of them. So maybe You gave Your names to someone else. And all the names which You have hidden with Yourself only, which You exclusively know. I invoke You and I call upon You on all those names to help me and assist me and forgive me. Right? So when we call upon Him, this is the one we're talking to. When you close your eyes and you have that moment this evening and you ask for that guidance, imagine the most merciful, the most kind, the most loving, the Creator who was with you before you were born, who's known every detail of your life, who knows the secrets of your heart, who knows the things that make you sad, who ensured that every moment while you're sleeping your heart is beating, that every breath is taken, that has given you life, has given you oxygen, and does not, you know, is not one that holds people accountable for their sins on a whim. He is Allah, the one and only that deserves worship. Only Him, only He who possesses these qualities, He is the only one deserving of your worship. Why should you worship anyone else who is not the most merciful, the most kind? Now, let us go a bit deeper into the qualities and the attributes of Allah. As we said, the one quality that Allah stresses and He wants to make known. So if you want to take anything from this lecture, if you want to know what Allah is, who He is, the quality which He says, if you want to know Me, get to understand My mercy. Comprehend a little bit of My mercy. And so we're going to talk a bit about the mercy of Allah. Before we continue, any questions? Just jumping quickly onto the team's chat. Any questions from anybody? No? So far so good? Okay. Obaid, any questions on YouTube? Nothing. All right. Alhamdulillah. So then we continue in asking. Let us understand a little bit about the mercy of Allah. And it's something that, you know, and I must pause here. And as you know, alhamdulillah, I grew up in a Muslim household. I went to madrasa. I lived a long period of my life in Saudi Arabia as a child. And I studied formally. And you do, and from an Islamic perspective, we very seldomly talk about the mercy of Allah as is deserving. If this is the opening, you know, the opening introduction Allah gives you of Himself, is about His mercy, why do our kids know more about His punishment, know about hell, know about Jahannam, and if you do this and don't do that, Allah's going to punish you? That concept must be, it is an injustice against Allah. It is actually haram. It is a type of denial of Him to only think about the things of punishment. Rather, He must be thought about in the context of mercy. That's what He wants you to think about when you interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says in the Quran, Rahmati, my mercy, wasi'at kulla shay. That my mercy embraces every single thing in all of existence. Even the worst of sinners, even the devil himself. Allah says, my mercy embraces all of creation. There is not a single atom, not a single person, except that Allah knows who you are and He is merciful towards you. He is aware of you and He shows you mercy in a manner. Sometimes you realize it, sometimes you don't realize it. Sometimes we appreciate His mercy and sometimes we don't appreciate His mercy. But He says, my mercy embraces, hugs, covers everything in creation. That is who I am. Allah says, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah says, I have made compulsory on myself, I made it a law upon me to always be merciful to everyone. I have to be merciful. Like you and I have certain rules and laws that we have to live by, Allah says, the law I need to live by is the one of mercy. أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا. Allah says, so that in the event that one of you were to commit a sin, ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. No matter how bad the sin is, and you come back to me, and you repent to me, وَأَصْلَحَ, and you reform yourself, فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then most certainly indeed you will find me extremely forgiving. I will forgive that sin and I will show you my mercy. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. Allah says to the Prophet, peace be upon him, say to my slaves, الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Not the good ones. Say to my slaves, the sinners, the ones who have rejected me, the ones who deny me, the ones who steal and murder and take drugs, all of them, say to those ones. What must he say? You're going to burn in hell forever? No. Say, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never ever give up hope in the mercy of your Lord. Don't ever forget that your Lord is merciful. Don't ever feel disconnected from Allah. Never. No matter how bad you are, no matter how long you've said, you know, Ya Allah, I've been an atheist, I've lived my life for the last 50 years, I haven't said your name once. Allah says to you, لا تقنطوا. Don't ever give up min rahmatillah, in the mercy of your Lord. Don't ever lose hope in Allah's mercy. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. That Allah says, I forgive every single sin, irrespective of how big, how bad, how many, I forgive all of them. Innahu al-ghafurur rahim. He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي. And if any of you ask about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Then I am definitely very close to you. I am very, very aware of what you are doing in your life, what is going on in your mind, what is happening in your life, in your marriage. I am near to you. Allah wants us to know that even though, yes, He is not part of our creation, He is not made up of this creation, He is intimately connected to this creation. He is never far away, He is never distant, He is never unaware. He says, if you want to think of me, I am near. You know, as one scholar puts it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not someone that you need to shout and call out to. You know, you don't have to scream when you pray, you don't scream. You speak very softly. And in fact, when you're in prostration, it's a conversation between you and your Lord. He is very near. And He says, Inni qareeb, I'm already near to you. So I'm there, even though you haven't invoked me in years, you haven't spoken to me in years, I'm still there. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an. I immediately respond to anyone who calls out to me, I respond to them. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So you also respond to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And so believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So that you may be successful in your, so that you may be successful in life. Some technical difficulties here. Am I still audible, guys? Can you still hear me, see me? Just a thumbs up from somebody. The guys on Teams.
All good, yeah.
Alhamdulillah, shukran so much. Shaheen, it seems like you're the only one awake over there. Right, so we're speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And He says that whenever you think of Him, I am near and I respond to you when you call out. Now look, the reality of life is difficult. We all go through tests and trials and hardships. And many times, you know, people, you always hear a person say, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know what burdens I carry. I smile, I go to work, I do that. I can never tell my kids, my wife, my, you know, my parents, the struggles that I have in my life. Allah says, I am the one that you turn to. I'm the one that you besiege. I'm the one that you talk to, and I will respond to you. Maybe I won't give you exactly what you want. You know, you are praying and begging for that specific thing, but I have something better in mind. But speak to me continuously. Just speaking to your Lord is a type of, is of course we know that it's a type of worship, but it's a type of therapy. It's a type of comfort to your heart, that when things are bad, you speak to him and he comforts you. Knowing that he's there, he listens and he responds, is the greatest form of security. And when things are good, don't forget him. When things are good and you feel, oh, I feel like the luckiest guy in the world, then you thank him. Because you know it could have gone another way, and he's watching over you and caring for you. So Allah says, I am near to you. And I want to have this relationship with you. And I respond to you when you talk to me. So talk to me. So speak to me. Call out to me. In a hadith, and a hadith is a prophetic narration. So all the things I mentioned so far are verses from the Quran. And maybe as we get deeper into this course, we'll talk about the difference between Quran and hadith. Very simplistically, Quran is the word of God. That is what Allah revealed. Hadith is the word of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It is inspired. It has been revealed to him, but it's not the word of God verbatim. Whereas the Quran is the verbatim word of God. Muslims believe that not a single letter of it was written by Muhammad or by any other scholar. Rather, it is the word of God as he spoke it to Muhammad, peace be upon him. And then you have, of course, the hadith being the teachings, the sermons, the lectures of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he, of course, we'll talk more about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He's our teacher, our guide, our leader. He's, of course, not a partner with Allah. He is not to be worshipped. Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a servant. Like you and I are servants. He worshipped Allah. He bows before him. Like all the prophets, as Jesus bowed, as Moses bowed, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just a prophet in the line of many, many prophets. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, says in one of his statements, he says, Allah, the mighty and the majestic, possesses 100 mercies. So Allah, he says, so the Prophet is giving an analogy. He says that when Allah created the universe, and he created creation, he took all of mercy, every ounce of mercy, and he divided it into 100 pieces, like 100%. Then he took 1% of that mercy, of his divine mercy, and he gifted it to his creation, and he sent it down to the creation. So that mercy became part of his creation. So much so, in the hadith it says, the mother animal, even animals have mercy. You would find that an animal, an elephant for example, if her cub is walking, she wouldn't trample on her baby. That if, you know, the kittens are being in a bit of hardship, the mommy cat comes and she protects the kittens. This mercy that you have, even in animals, the Prophet peace be upon him said, comes from that 1% of mercy. So all the mercy in all of creation, the mercy your mother feels for you, the mercy you feel for your kids, from the beginning of time until the end of time, all of it together is only one piece. The other 99, he kept for himself. That's what he has. He has the 99% of mercy is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with him. Allah says, when Allah, or the Prophet says, when Allah decreed the creation, when he created the creation, he then set up laws. The law, Allah created laws. And he said, by writing in his book which he laid down, and Allah proclaimed, he then said to his creation, my mercy will always exceed my punishment. My mercy will always encompass all things, but my punishment is very, very minimal and selective. Only a few of the creation deserving of it, and we'll talk about punishment as we get through this course, inshallah. But what he says is, my mercy prevails over my punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a beautiful narration. You know, as we talk about the qualities of the Creator, so many of you can identify, whatever your background is, Muslim, Christian, whatever it is, that God must be knowledgeable. He must have knowledge. He must have power. He must have might. He must have kindness. Islam says there's an attribute that Allah is generous. He loves to give, and he is shy. Now shy, being bashful, is not a quality that you ascribe to the Creator of the universe, the one who has the power in all things. Yet Allah describes himself, I am shy. How are you shy, O Lord? He says that if his servant, if someone raises their hands to him, he becomes shy to return them empty. So that whenever you raise your hands, the Almighty does answer in some way. He will. It is not within His divinity that He will not respond to your invocation. So never ever feel that my du'as, are not, my du'a meaning my prayers, are being unanswered. They are definitely being heard by Him, and He responds, of course, in His own way and His own majesty. So the Lord of the universe becomes shy when you invoke Him and He lets those hands fall empty. Allah says, Allah, so there's a beautiful narration. This is a small narration, but it refers to a very long story, and we have time to talk about that story. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, was on a journey, and you know, a fight, you know, ensued, you know, at the town, and this lady is screaming, she's frantic, you know. So you imagine what, like, may Allah protect, and may Allah protect the people of Ukraine. But imagine you're in Ukraine, and you know, you don't know what's happening. You see the tanks rolling, and you know, bombs are falling, and all of a sudden, your kids are, you know, playing in a certain park, and there this bomb falls, and you just see the smoke. And you're sure in your mind that, you know, my kids have just, you know, been obliterated. What would go through your mind as a parent? And so this lady sees her child almost basically die in front of her, and she begins to scream, and she runs frantically towards the child. And when she gets to her child, she picks up the baby, and the baby is fine. Nothing wrong, not a scratch on the baby. And so this lady now, you can imagine the scene, she picks up this child and she hugs this child and kisses this child, you know, with all her love and all her, you know, all her motherhood, she holds this child so tight. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, is looking at the scene. And he says to his companions, he says to the, you know, the followers that are with him, his disciples, do you see this lady? Can you fathom that this lady could ever take this baby and cast it into a fire? Can you imagine that it's even possible? A mother, and think of your own mother, would your mom ever be able to throw you into a burning, into a fire? And this companion said, of course, impossible. Never could this mother or any mother do such a thing. And so then the Prophet responded, Allah is more merciful to his slaves than this woman is to her child. And he is more reluctant to punish his servants than your own parents are than to bring you harm. One of the beautiful narrations of the scholars, they said that if you understood the mercy of the Lord, of Allah, you would be more comfortable, you would be happy knowing that Allah is the one that's going to judge you than your own mother, than your own parents. Because His capacity for love and mercy and His reluctance to punish you is more than that of your own parents. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, and this just shows you, what does He want in return from us? Allah says, whoever believes that there is none worthy of worship but me, that I am the one and true God worthy of worship, and in his heart, and in his heart, there is only that goodness equal to an atom. He hasn't done much goodness in his life. He has a drop of goodness in his heart. Allah says, I promise that person will enter paradise. I will give him paradise. So long as you believe in me and you have the smallest atom of goodness in your heart, there is something good in your heart, you will enter paradise. It gives you a great amount of hope, you know, in a world that feels very hopeless sometimes. And we feel like, you know, there's no way I'm gonna get there. There's this place called Jannah. It's perfect, it's carefree, it's worry-free, no Mondays, no sadness. Allah says, to get there, just have a relationship with me, acknowledge me, and have the lowest form of goodness in your heart, and you will enter that place. Of my favorite narrations, this is not a Quranic ayah, but it is a conversation that Allah has with us. Allah says, a servant of mine committed a sin, and then he said, oh Allah, forgive my sin. So you did whatever sin it was, big or small, right? These are not only small sins. Sometimes we imagine, oh, it's only small sins, you know, you forgot to tell the white lie. We're talking about the big sins, drinking, fornicating, whatever it is, murder even. Allah says, my servant, my slave, committed a sin, and then he invoked me, so I forgave his sin. And he, God Almighty, Allah said, my servant has committed a sin, and he knows that he has a Lord who forgives and punishes for those sins. So my servant acknowledged that there is a God, and he acknowledged that I am merciful and that I can also punish. So then I forgave him. Then the sinner sinned again. Then he did the same sin again. He went back to that same mistake again. And then he comes back to Allah and he says, my Lord, please forgive my sin. And Allah responds, my servant committed a sin. But he also knows that he has a Lord who forgives sins and who has the ability to punish the sins. So I forgave him again, a second time. Then the man sinned a third time and he did the same thing. After sinning, he comes back. Allah, same story, same mistake. Now, for us, you know, a person, you know, harms you. One time you said, okay, fine, I forgive you. Second time, okay. Third time, your patience is running dry. Allah says, my servant, again, he sinned. Same mistake. Then he said, I'm sorry, forgive me. And Allah responds, my servant acknowledged that he has a Lord who forgives and is merciful and can punish. So I forgave him. And then Allah says, so continue doing as you wish, for I have forgiven you. Do what you wish, for I have forgiven you. Now, very carefully, this is not Allah giving the green light, sin as much as you want. But Allah is saying, no matter how much sin you do, the door of repentance is always open. No matter how many times you come back through the door of repentance, you will find forgiveness on the other side. No matter how many times you repeat that same mistake daily, day in, day out, Allah doesn't get tired or frustrated or say, well, you're taking me now for a joke now. You know, I have a limit. No, there is no limits. So long as you come back and you walk through that door and you raise your hands, you say, look, I've sinned, Ya Allah. I've left you. I haven't acknowledged you, forgive me. Allah says, I guarantee you, I will forgive you no matter what it is. In perhaps one of my favorite narrations, Allah says, O son of Adam. So he's talking now to me, to you. He says, O children of Adam, as long as you call upon me and put your hope in me, I have forgiven you for whatever you have done. And I also don't mind. I don't hold a grudge. No matter how badly you've lived and messed up in your life, so long as you come back to me, I will forgive you, wipe the slate clean, and I won't even mind at all. Then he says, O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky, and then you were to seek my forgiveness. So this is a person who lived his life completely in the disobedience of his Lord. He did all the wrong, so it became so much like reaching the clouds in the sky. And now, you know, he's gotten that diagnosis. Look, you've got a few months to live, you've got cancer. Now he rushes to the mosque. Now he rushes to speak to Allah. Allah says, if you come to me like that, I will forgive you, and I don't mind. Then Allah says, O son of Adam, if you were to come to me with sins that are close to filling the earth, and then you would meet me, meaning now this is so each one is a different category. The first person is a person who sins and repents regularly. And Allah says, he loves this person. Then Allah says, they are those people who sin a lifetime, and then they get a wake-up call, and then they want to come back to me. And Allah says, I will accept you when you come back. The third kind of person, very dangerous, is a person who lived a terrible life, and they didn't even repent in this life, and they died. Then Allah says, O son of Adam, if you were to come to me, meaning you died, and you came to me with so much sin that it fills the world, a world full of sin, and then you would meet me, meaning on the day of the resurrection, you come to me without ascribing any partner with me, without rejecting me. You come to me and you say, Ya Allah, I have not done much good in my life, and I've lived a terrible, wasted life. But the only thing I can say is, Ya Allah, I still believed in you. I acknowledge that you existed. I still acknowledge that you are my Lord. And I didn't worship anyone other than you. Then Allah says to this man, then I will certainly bring to you forgiveness equal to filling the world. As you brought a life of sin that fills the world, I'll bring you mercy and forgiveness equal to filling the world. Now, when you think of these things, and these are not talking about small sins, these are like murder, rape, these are like huge sins. Allah says, everyone has the capacity to get my forgiveness. It should make us, and we don't trivialize our sins, but there are degrees in sin that we should all feel, I can raise my hands to him, and he will listen, and he will answer, and he will respond, and he won't become tired or frustrated with us. And he genuinely loves us and wants us to draw nearer to him. Are there any questions before we go on to the last part of this of our slides? Any comments that anyone would like to make? Yes, Shane. Shane, you may go. You're on mute.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Sheikh, now, you know, you speak about Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. And you have now illustrated through these things of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has different categories of mercy. Why is it that, you know, I'm so saddened by it that at this age, you hear how Allah's rahmah and mercy coming from you as an alim, but our other alims out there haven't taught us these things that we may find comfort in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, as a life coach, I coach a lot of people and I say, you know, rather make tawbah consistently, because if you must die 2 seconds before you have made tawbah, then you have known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is upon you. Now then you go into classes and then they say, don't make a joke of Allah and make tawbah, tawbah, tawbah. We are human. We make mistakes. We falter. And that's what I feel, that we need to know that Allah's mercy is greater than what we are taught by Allah's sins. And these are the things that open people up to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot more. So why are we in this world? That's the question. Why are we in this world taught that we must fear Allah more in not committing the sin? Because then a man would think, you know what, I've committed so much, so why must I repent? Allah is not going to have mercy because I was taught that, you know, I'm going to go to Jahannam, basically.
Yes, Shaheen, so shukran for that. And that is why, you know, this is lecture number 4. And before we're talking about prayer, before we're talking about salah, we're talking about fasting. The most important thing, or the way, the thing that Allah introduced Himself is mercy. And we forget that. Because once you acknowledge that you have a Lord that is merciful, and you have, you can then begin to have a relationship with Him, it becomes easier for you to live a life in His obedience. But I know many times, when we preach, it's sort of, we want you to not do the sin, and so you're almost with a stick, you know, there's punishment, and there's damnation, and there's hellfire. And those things are part of, you know, Islam, and we'll talk about those things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not begin with, do this or I'll punish you. Allah is telling you, know who I am, know my mercy, understand my mercy, so that we can have a relationship. And so shukran for that. And I really want everyone here, and I said, most of you here, perhaps, you know, senior, older people in your life, I really want you to have a relationship with your Creator. And I want, and a part of that thing is, it is built on you speaking to Him. So speak to Him in your language. Empty your heart to Him. And believe that He listens, and He's merciful, and He's kind, and He wants you to have a happy, fulfilled life. That's what He wants. He did not place you here to make your life difficult. Yes, the life is difficult, but He's always with you every step of the way. The last part of our lecture is, as I said, now that you know Allah, Allah wants you to have a relationship with Him. And so there's this long, not very long, but a bit of a narration, again, that Allah speaks. So Allah says, now that you know who I am, you know who you are, I made you, I created you, I put you on the earth. You know who I am, I'm the most merciful, I'm the all-powerful, I'm the all-knowing. Allah says, oh my servant, Allah speaks to you, Shaheen, Muhammad, everyone, your own name, whatever your name is, Aisha, oh my servant, I have forbidden oppression for myself, I've made it forbidden on me to oppress anyone. And therefore, I have made for oppression forbidden amongst you. So do not oppress anyone. Allah says, I have forbidden myself from harming anybody. So you should not harm anybody. Look at how He begins. That there should be no harm. Part of your relationship with Him is how you treat everyone else. Then He says, oh my servants, all of you are astray. You are lost. You are just wandering through your life. Except those who I have guided. So ask me of my guidance and I will guide you. That whoever wants to be guided, whoever wants to end up with God, with Allah, if you want it, ask Him. And He says, I promise you, I will guide you. Oh my servants, all of you are hungry, all of you are poor, all of you are struggling in your jobs, all of you, those of you don't have any jobs, except for those who I feed and nourish. So seek of me provision, and I will feed you. Oh my servants, all of you are naked, all of you are weak and exposed, except for those who I have clothed and protected. So seek clothing from me alone, and I shall clothe you. Oh my servants, you sin by night and by day. Every day, all the time, you are disobeying me. And I forgive all sins. And I forgive all sins. So ask me continuously of forgiveness, and I guarantee you I shall forgive you. Oh my servants, Allah says again, you will not, now look at this, Allah says, listen, you will not ever attain harming me as to harm me. You will never be able to harm me, oh my creation. You can never harm me. And you will never be able to benefit me. You can never do anything that enriches Allah, that makes Him better, that enhances Him. Allah says you can't harm Him and you can't benefit Him. Your relationship with Him is completely dependent on Him, and He is completely independent of us. So He says, oh my servants, were the first of you, and the last of you, and the human and the jinn. We'll talk about jinn perhaps another time. But if basically if all of creation, the humans, the angels, the animals, all of you were to be as the most pious and possess the most pious heart of any person of you, that would not increase my kingdom in anything. Allah says, your worship, your prayer does not benefit me or increase me. Even if all of you were like saints, it would not increase me in the least. And then Allah says, if all of you, every single person from the beginning of time till the end of time, were the most wicked of people, all of you were like Hitler, all of you had the like devils, it would not decrease me and harm Allah in the least. It won't diminish me in the least. He says, oh my servants, were the first of you and the last of you and all of creation were to assemble in one area and continuously ask me, give me this, give me that. You were asking me non-stop of whatever it is that you want. I will give and I will be able to answer all those requests, and it will not diminish me any more than a needle when put in the sea. When you take that needle out, there's only a drop on that on the edge. That's, you know, how much did you take out of the ocean? Allah says, if every single person from the beginning of time till the end of time were to ask all their heart's desires, I would fulfill all those desires, and it would not lessen me like a drop being less taken from the ocean. And then he says, oh my servants, it is now, he concludes, he says, I am the one that guides you, that protects you, that forgives you, that if you ask, I respond, that if you do good, it doesn't benefit me, and if you do bad, it doesn't harm me. If you want anything, I can give everything to you, and it won't diminish me. So then he says to you, oh my servants, at the end of the day, it is only your deeds, only your life, the life that you lived, that I will judge, and then I will repay you for what you have earned. So whoever finds goodness in his life and goodness in the year after, let him praise me, let him thank me for what I've given him. And whoever finds anything other than that, you don't find goodness on the other side, then don't blame me, but blame yourselves. And so this is our relationship with our Creator. And our life, as we said, your year for 50, 60, 70 years, maybe less, maybe more, it counts and it will be judged, it will be weighed, and Allah is going to ask you, what was your relationship like with me? How did you live? Where did I fit in into your life? And Islam is basically to say that I hope and I pray all of us, I hope and you can hope, that when we pass away, we can say, Ya Allah, I was a Muslim. I submitted to you to the best of my ability. I wasn't perfect, but I acknowledged you. I turned to you regularly. I spoke to you and I submitted that you are my Lord and I am your servant. And that is what it means to be a Muslim, bi-ibnillah. Any questions? Alhamdulillah, we've concluded our lecture for this evening. Are there any questions? Maybe a minute or two for questions. Let's hear from the rest of you. Anybody? Uncle Salim, you want to say something?
Yeah, sorry, Sheikh. Thank you for this one. I had some connectivity issues. I think it's the wind in the workout area.
No problem.
But the wind is also important.
Alhamdulillah, yes.
Yeah, we'll get to the reasons why the wind is there. Sheikh, on just a subject, you know, I caught the latter part of the, you know, the merciful, you know, our Creator being so merciful, subhanAllah, you know, with the sinner. It also opens something, you know, that boggles the mind that, you know, sin is not advocated, but the person living the life, you know, I'm just going to put it differently, like riding their luck. Habitual sinner, knowing full.
Well, I've lost you there, Uncle Sai.
That the doors of mercy is open.
Yes, yes.
Even the person. Am I back, Chef?
Yes, you're saying the habitual sinner, no matter how much he sins.
Yes, the habitual sinner will find, you know, not solace, but he will ride his luck in the sense of, you know, even if I die, if I don't repent, just because I didn't ascribe any partners, I will still be guaranteed a place somewhere in Jannah, then in heaven. I just want us to unpack that one. You know, we know sin is not, cannot be condoned, but the mercy is also on the other side, and the doors are open. How do we correlate the two then?
So
we need to abstain from sin, it's a given, but yet the mercifulness is there. A parent will knock you after one transgression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you umpteenth. It was almost like infinity is that the message that we can take away from here?
So it's a good question, and I mean, what basically you're linking, and it's when we listen to the mercy and how much Allah wants to forgive and enter us into Jannah, it almost says, well, I have a get out of free jail free card. I can live my life however I want, and there's no consequences. No, there are consequences. And maybe, lillahi mathal a'la, we don't give analogies to Allah, but what He says is, you must always have the hope in my mercy now. I want to think of your own mother. You know, there are things, no matter how bad our life turns out, in the back of our minds we know, even if I end up, Allah protect, in jail or whatever, my mom will still love me. My mom would still care for me. My mom, but she will not condone my sin. And she will not fail to reprimand me and tell me where I made a mistake and even punish me. But her love for me is one that you never lose that. You almost feel comfortable that no matter how bad things are, her love is always going to be there. And so lillahi ma'ala, Allah is beyond that kind of analogy. But He wants you to know that yes, there are repercussions. There is something as punishment. And we'll talk about sin and punishment. But never lose hope that you can get the mercy of Allah. That's what Allah wants you to bank on. And yes, there are people in the Day of Judgment who will be punished. There are people who will deserve punishment and they'll be forgiven. And perhaps when we get the chance, we'll talk about sin and punishment, life after death, all those kind of things. One more question, maybe from the sisters. I'd like to hear from the brother. Any of the sisters would like to ask a question before we conclude? I see a Nadia, a Nabila, a Nazima, Layla, Lindy. Any questions from anyone? No. Right. So then, Jazakallah Khair once again. Just a reminder for those of you who have any questions. You know, if you feel want to, you can email me westmohammed@gmail.com. If it's urgent, you can WhatsApp me as well. And then just a message, a reminder. We are doing a marriage marriage workshop over a couple of weekends called the Road to Nikah. This is for married people and people looking to get married and people you're looking for a partner. This is going to be a workshop where we're not only going to be myself talking about the rules of marriage and having private counseling in terms of are you, you know, right for each other. We're also going to have a psychologist, a therapist who will teach you about the love languages and how to communicate, all the fluffy stuff that I'm not an expert on. And so we hope, inshallah, this marriage course will be a little bit more fulfilling. And for anyone that is looking to get married or is married and would like to improve your marriage, please join us. You can obviously email me or you can comment, and then inshallah we'll get back to you. Inshallah, bi'idhnillah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. All the best to you. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair.